All right, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. And we're in a sermon series through the book of Philippians. So Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I might be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even as I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me." So N.T. Wright tells a story of this ugly, depressing-looking city. And he says that the beautiful historical buildings had long ago been replaced with these, what he calls, square concrete monstrosities. And they were built for function rather than aesthetics. But by this time, they were getting tatty and ragged on the edges. Some of you have probably lived in a city that looks like that. But then an architect was appointed by the city council to design a new civic center right in the heart of the city. In the middle of all the ugliness, they were going to build this one new building. And the plan was to start with this one building and in the process make the entire city more beautiful where it matched the old pictures that they had. And the architect was this elderly man, but he was excited. He cherished this opportunity that he had. Sorry about my microphone. It's missing a little foam piece. That's why you keep hearing that noise. But anyways, he went to work on this design. And some while later, while the preparations were complete, he saw the foundation of the building being laid, but then he became ill. And he wasn't able to finish the work that he had started. But he still cared passionately that this building would be completed. So he talked with these other architects, and he gave them detail about how they were to proceed with this project. And he says this to them. He said, "After all," he said to them, "when people think of me, I want them to think of this beautiful building. You have got to make it so it stands like a lighthouse in a dark storm, showing people that there is such a thing as beauty, even if everything else around it is ugliness." He says, "That will be my reward." So this one beautiful building, a lighthouse in a dark storm, as it was called, would be a picture or a model of what the entire city would eventually become. Now, think about Paul in this passage. Paul is very much like an architect, or like that architect in that passage. Paul doesn't know if he's going to see the completion of this. I mean, he doesn't know, am I getting out of prison? Are they going to execute me? He's not really sure what's going to happen in that area. But one thing he does know is he's looking forward to the day of the Messiah. He's looking forward knowing that God is going to bring the entire cosmos, the entire universe, he's going to bring that into peace and to justice. And he's going to renew all things through the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Paul says this in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, from whom we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies into be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So he's saying, hey, we're waiting for God to make all things new. And we need to understand something, church. Listen up. We are the church. Okay? Where's Hope Community Church? It's right here. Not this building, but the people. The people. We are to be a lighthouse in a dark storm. That's who we are called to be. We're to be as the Apostle Paul implores them. Listen to what he says. He says that you may be blameless and innocent children without blemish. Where? In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So the work that God is doing in us, what he's doing in you and I, should be a picture to the world of what one day God will do for the entire world. We should be that picture. I asked a couple of weeks ago, how do we find contentment in life when it becomes overwhelming? And anybody ever have that moment? Okay, a couple of you. So how do we find contentment when life feels overwhelming? How do we stay focused on what's really important? And let me add in a question. How do we shine as lights into a dark world? Let me remind you, the world is dark, okay? And Paul reminds us that the answer is found in Jesus. It says we got to keep going back to that. This letter, the Philippian letter, invites us to see our story as a living expression of Jesus' story. This section of the letter starts out with this little phrase here. It says, therefore. Okay, so you good Bible students, what question do you ask when you see the word therefore? What's it there for? Yes. What is the therefore there for? And it's because what Christ has done and how he did it and then what he expects for us. And then here's what we need to do. In light of everything I just told you, Paul's saying therefore. Now, if you were here last week, Zeph preached what's the centerpiece, what is the glue of this entire book. And I won't re-preach his sermon, but I'll read the passage that he read. Because this is the glue. This is the story that we need to connect with. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we need to put on the mind of Christ here. And how did Christ live his life? What did he do? It says, although he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. So the only one that ever had the right to walk around and say, I'm God. I am literally God, says, I'm not going to hold to that. Okay, I know who I am. Nobody's taking that away from me, but I'm not going to hold on to that. Verse 7, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being found in a human form, he humbled himself. Just insane, right? I mean, the one that does not need to humble himself humbles himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore, because of everything that just happened, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all the church says, amen, amen. And when we live, when you and I, when the church, when we live out who we're supposed to be, when we act like the church, we're making a loud declaration out into the world. You know what we're saying? We're saying Jesus is Lord. And we are resurrection people. And I don't think in general people get the resurrection. I think most people that believe in the resurrection will look at it and say, well, yeah, Jesus defeated death. He rose from the grave. He went to heaven. And so now we get to one day. And that's all true. But that's only a small picture. Paul's painting a much bigger picture here. N.T. Wright puts it this way. He says, the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of the final putting to rights of all things. So we're like that building. You and I, the church, we're like that building in a dark and ugly city. And those who have been made right with God are to be a picture of what God is going to do for all of creation. We should be that picture to the world. First John 3:8 tells us this. It says, the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's awesome. To destroy the works of the devil. And as Jesus was going to the cross, or before he went to the cross, this is what Jesus said. He says, now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So he's saying, I'm going to the cross, and this is going to be the battle. And I'm going to defeat the devil at the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out these words. He cried out, tetelestai, which is translated, it is finished. In other words, he's saying, okay, what I came to do here to destroy the works of the devil, I did that on the cross. It is finished. And so then the resurrection declares Jesus as victorious over the powers of darkness. That's why we don't have to fear the powers of darkness, because they have been defeated by Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul is saying to the church, he's saying very clearly, he's saying, church, this is your story. This is your story. And we need to see our story, the living out of our lives, as a living expression of Jesus' story. He's saying, listen, church, this is the answer. And then Paul says, Therefore, my beloved, because of this story that you belong to, and because you've always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, remember he's in prison, he says, but much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, some of you are listening to that verse, you're like, what did he just say? Did he just say, work out your own salvation? Well, this verse has been confusing to a lot of people, and there's some disagreement with Bible scholars. Your traditional Catholic advocates will emphasize the working out your personal salvation. Traditional Protestants have emphasized the working out of personal salvation in the sense of progressive sanctification. You know, you're working out what God has put in you as you become more like Christ. So let's kind of, I just want to clear the muddy waters here for a second. Let's make it very clear from the start that this passage isn't telling you to earn your salvation. All right, that's not what this passage is telling you. Because the very next verse, here's what the very next verse says. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure. So in other words, God's doing something in you. And if that's not perfectly clear, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. All right. So let me also say this. This passage is more than personal sanctification. Because a lot of times we read the Bible and we see the word you and we say, okay, that's just me. It's much more than that. It doesn't exclude it. This is about your personal sanctification. This is about you growing and maturing in Christ, but it's bigger. Think of both and, all right? Think that God's doing something in here, and God's doing something in here. Because Paul's not writing them as a bunch of individuals saying, hey, just do your own thing apart from one another. You know, it's like we're all following Jesus around on little scooters. It's just me and Jesus. That's not the idea at all. Because if you go through this whole chapter, he starts out the chapter by calling us to participate in the spirit of unity together and to have humility. I could be pretty humble if I'm all by myself, right? But once we put other people in that mix, that's when we got to start to do something. And in fact, if you go through here, all of the pronouns that Paul uses are plural. So he's saying church, it's not just you as an individual, but it's you. I want you together to work something out. Think about the illustration of this beautiful building that's in the midst of this broken and tarnished city. And the hope is one day that all of that city would become like that building. I mean, obviously they would have unique designs and what have you, but they would all be beautiful like that one. And think of us as that building. The foundation has been laid. The building's not complete, all right? And anybody here, I probably shouldn't ask that if you've reached perfection yet or not. Let's just say most of you have not reached perfection, okay? Or let's say that I have not, right? I am a work in progress, all right? And so as individuals and together as a body of Christ, we're to work out what God has placed in us. We're to work here together. But we're also called, as Jesus told us to go out and share the gospel. We don't exist for ourselves. We're like the only organization in the world that doesn't exist for itself. We exist for those that are not a part of what we're doing. And so we're to work this out in here. We're to work this out in here. And we're to work that out into our community. And Paul's not just writing a nice theological letter. You know what he's doing? He's sitting in prison doing exactly what he's telling them to do. While he's in prison, while he's in a dark place, he's sharing joy. And people, the people that are holding him in prison are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because he's becoming that picture. I think Christians ought to be live in such a way where people say, you know, I don't agree with everything you say and everything you think, but there's something you have and I want that. I want what you have. The church ought to be, as Eugene Peterson calls it, a colony of heaven in a country of death. I think that's just a great picture, a colony of heaven in a country of death. All right, if you're still with me, verse 14. We've probably nailed this one already. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Man, we had that before they put in that word all. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. So theologians will talk about the major defining event in the Old Testament as the Exodus event. That's where God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. And the exit event in the New Testament, theologians will call that the Christ event. And what they mean by the Christ event is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now think about the Old Testament. What did the people do as they wandered around in the desert? Were they like, yes, our God delivered us? Well, some of them, but a lot of it, what they did is they grumbled and complained. They grumbled against God. They grumbled against Moses. Like, you know, they just said, man, we had it made back in Egypt. We had this, we had this. Hello, you were slaves. And they complained. And what happens there, and we're not immune to this, by the way, is they forgot who they were. They forgot that God was in their midst and God was doing something. And now Paul is taking that picture and he's reminding the Philippian church that you are the new Exodus people. Okay? You have been the people that have been delivered from the power of sin and death by our Passover lamb. And as the new Exodus people, you need to know who you are. You need to know I belong to the Jesus story. There's a lot of junk going on all around me. And some of that connects to the story, and some of it is just junk going on. The story I belong to is the Jesus story. And that's the story that I need to live out. That's the story that I need to work right in here. That's the story that needs to work in here. And that's the story that we need to take out into the community around us. And as Paul says in the previous chapter, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, he says, that you may, In other words, when you do this, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, where in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. How many times do we pray like, okay, God, just remove all of this junk. You know, just remove all of this mess. And God's like, no, that's where I'm going to work. I'm going to work in the mess. How many of you experienced that where you find out, you know, some of the times where God has worked the most in my heart, has changed the most in my life, is right in the middle of a mess. It's not something that I would prefer to go through again, but that's where God was working. And he's going to work in that mess. And so he says, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And here's what you do. He says, among them whom you shine as lights, holding fast to the word of life. Hold fast to that story. That's your story. Connect with that story. Go back to that story. This is who you are. So that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. It's like, man, this work that God's doing in you. I want to see that. I want to see it to its fullness. Think about the world. Think the story that the Bible tells us. The world was created with beauty, and it was designed to flourish. And that worked out for about two chapters. And then we have the fall. You know, people say, I just want a normal life. Man, that's a setting on your dryer, okay? There's like four chapters that are normal in the Bible, and they're both bookends there. The world was created with beauty and designed to flourish, but the fall comes in and the world became in many places tarnished and became a dark place of rebellion and pain and division. And in that world, Jesus comes and enters into that world. Jesus, who is the light, he declares this to the church. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. He says, you are the light of the world. Okay? He's talking to the church. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a light and put it under a basket. There's a children's song about that. But on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Church, you're to be that light. And as people of the light, don't just be satisfied with not fearing the darkness. Because I think some people are just proud of, hey, I don't fear the darkness. Okay, don't fear the darkness, but love people enough to bring the light into that darkness. Be that building that shows the whole world what it's supposed to become. Show them that picture of Revelation 20 and 21. We, the people of God, has already worked in our hearts. We should be the most likely people to show hope. We should be the most likely people to show compassion and love and forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. Okay, it's night out. It's dark out. And when it's dark out, what do? Shine the light. Shine the light into that darkness. We are gospel people. Let's let God's love and his light shine into this present darkness. Peter writes this, 1 Peter 2, 9. He says, but you are a chosen race. And he's speaking to the church. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let me ask you, are any of you experiencing trials and tribulation today? And maybe some of you are saying, man, I'm in a good place right now. This is a good time. Okay, same advice for both of you. Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the same job. Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's live. Let's proclaim the good news. And the good news of the Christian gospel is that this new world, that where we have a new heaven and a new earth and a new creation, it's already begun, right? It's already begun in our hearts. right? God has began that transformation process. And it began with Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. He defeated all the sin. He defeated the ugliness. He defeated death. He defeated what defaced God's creation. Dallas Willard says this. He says, the invitation to come out of the darkness and live right side up. You notice like the world actually lives upside down. And that's why Jesus' teaching seems so weird, because he's like, let me flip this around. Literally, once he flipped it, the tables over. But Dallas Willard says, the invitation is to come out of the darkness and live right side up in the light makes no sense to many. He says, Jesus came to show and to teach the life for which we were made. He came very gently, opened access to the governance of God. Caught up in this active role, our deeds become an element in God's eternal history. They are what God and we do together, making us a part of his life and him a part of ours. I read that, I'm like, well, that's very interesting. Like God's writing history right now. And it's kind of like we're a pen in his hand. And when we join with him and we shine his light into the community, we're becoming a part of God's history. So church, my challenge is, he who began a good work in you, he's faithful. He's going to be faithful to complete it. So let's work out what he's already put in our hearts. Let's work that out in here. Let's work that out in here. And then let's work that out into the community. Let's be people that shows the world what it can be. Because of Christ, what he's done for you, he says, you're the light of the world. And best I can read my Bible, and I'm sure there's some things I'm wrong on. There's no plan B on this. I don't see a plan B. I see the plan A is God is going to work through his church, through the body. And the invitation is to come out of the darkness, live as lights. And when we do that, I think we're going to be able to declare with Paul, even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offerings of your faith, so even if that happens, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray, and we'll have the worship team come back up. Lord God, we're so grateful for you. So grateful that you came. You defeated sin. You defeated death. You rose from the grave so that we could have a relationship with you and we could join with you in that transformation process. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they call out and they proclaim that, Lord Jesus, I need you and thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and my salvation. And Father, I pray for everybody that has received Christ as Lord and Savior, that we would be the lights that you have called us to be. We would live out your story, Lord, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of brokenness and ugliness. We would be reminded that we're a part of your story, Lord. Have your way with your people today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.